So what kind of weird things do you do now, like 6 months into quarantine? Do you like, I kind of realized like something big for me that's happened is I put a TV in my bedroom. Like I've never, ever done that, because I was like, that's a level of depravity.
I don't know. I'm a big believer in the TV in a bedroom. I begged for one when I was a kid, and I think my parents finally folded. So I've had a TV in my bedroom since I was like 15 years old.
Nice. Do you guys have one now, like the whole time?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I guess I can't picture it for some reason. I feel like I knew like your places in Chicago, it was more on display, but I can't like picture it in your room right now in
That's
LA.
A good thing from a decorating point of view too. Like, because you're really supposed to like shut it away. It's not a feng shui.
No, it's not a feng shui.
But I get it. You're like, there's little things, especially around the house. I find myself like, if I don't like carve out time for me to like play the ukulele during the day, I get like upset. I'm just like, but I must play. But I must do it.
That's amazing. I'm just like totally down with eating junk food now again too, like shitty things like Flamin' Hot Cheetos.
Yeah, I've never eaten Flamin' Hot Cheetos, but I did read a thing, and it's not a news story, whatever, I don't give a shit. There's a Reader article I was reading that you can like get a pen pal in another country, and like you just mail each other snacks back and forth.
Oh.
It's just care packages.
Oh, that's really fun. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, hey, everyone, here's a sampling from Happy's Liquor Store in Glassell Park.
Absolutely. I mean, I would just be down. I'm just like, hey, here's, and then Flamin' Hot Cheetos you could send. And then who knows what you'll get sent back. Potato chips in other countries are fantastic to seek out.
And let's just put it out there right now. If any of our listeners want to get into some pen pal snack sending here on the, let's go. Let's send each other mail and snacks.
Send us snacks.
Well, how are you feeling today, Andrea?
I'm good, Brooke. This is Sidework Podcast. Brooke is baiting me because I drank wine last night.
Yes. I know.
It is funny. I'm like, I'm going to own it. It's okay. Like, it's been 6 months. I haven't like drank too much wine in front of my friends in 6 months. And so I'm okay.
It was great. We all got COVID tested. This is our COVID coven. We are a five-person chat group that started the day the world shut down. And we've all been hiding. We've all been really serious levels of quarantine. And the loneliness has absolutely gotten to all of us. And we're like, can we all test? Like, we need to see each other responsibly and more often. Yeah. And our friend Julia is a new mom, you know, little baby Stella. Shout out to little Stella Rosie Miles. And it was really fun to see Julia. We all swooped in with masks and we took her baby away from her for like 2.5 hours. And I mean that in the best way possible. She's like,
yeah,
she got wine drunk too. It was just a bunch of 40 something year old witches.
Just hanging out and sipping on some vino.
Yep. On the fall equinox. Yep.
Yeah. We always tend to like, we randomly like jokingly named it COVID Coven. And then whenever we hang out, it always tends to be some sort of like celestial event at the same time.
It's pretty great.
It's pretty much on par.
And just a quick PSA to our younger listeners. The minute you turn 40, you also turn into a witch. It's just the truth. Just putting it out there. You start collecting way more moon rocks and beautiful stones and amethyst.
Well, your powers come into the full force, basically. You know,
they do.
I think it's like, you know, there's a lot of like juvenile literature out there where powers come into like fullness when you turn like 18. But yeah, 40s, you got to wait till 40.
Absolutely. But trust me, you are going to be very, very intrigued with witchcraft once you start getting closer to 40. Well, you and Brian, speaking of sort of fun, witchy, gothy, dark, moody stuff, the headline today is so awesome. You guys sent me this yesterday.
Yeah, for sure. From LA Taco, there's this new pop-up coffee stand in East LA that is, it's a black metal goth theme. Called Mystics Cafe. I cannot wait to go. It is officially fall, which for me and you means Halloween season, which is our favorite holiday. But this guy, it's in Boyle Heights. You can go, you can visit on the corner of Rowan and Cesar Chavez, but he just like, it's the first pop-up to sell coffee with a goth aesthetic, basically.
Absolutely. And the owner is, you know, he's a East Side resident Mexican guy named Julian, who's like, I'm just from the hood in East LA. And it's a very like Mexican goth, Latinx goth, Morrissey loving. There's just such a wonderful subculture of like goth, yeah, black metal and Latin culture. And he's like, fuck it, I'm going to have like some of my collectible figurines of the Undertaker on the coffee bar. And
Julian Filth is his name, is what he goes by, and he's a musician as well,
but he's also a celebrated barista, and he's worked at a bunch of different joints all around Los Angeles. And what was so cool about this pop-up, where he's just like, fuck it, we're trying it, we're doing it, he was not promoted to cashier in some of the more prominent positions at other jobs like Starbucks or I think it's called Tierra Mia. That's a coffee shop in Echo Park. And he's like, guess what? Taking off with my own pop-up. Not only am I the owner, I'm the barista, and I will also be taking your money. So snap, snap, snap.
So good. I love it. I mean, there's, you know, black magic, white magic, are a couple of the names of the drinks. I want all of them. The white magic, I think, is coffee or cold brew and horchata.
I'll tell you the description of it because I'm looking at it. White magic is horchata iced coffee shaken with sin.
Oh, I need this.
I need it too. I'm really like, I might do a little field trip out of here after we wrap.
Oh, this is full on like my Halloween haunted house. I'm going to go check out this since Halloween has been canceled.
Should we put on spooky outfits and go get a coffee if that's all we're offered right now?
Or just put on a wig. Just put on a wig and go get a cold brew.
Dude, it's going to be great. But clearly he's doing nighttime hours because I'm sure there's like a fun, weird scene that like after 9 p.m., I kind of want to see who's running around the graveyard. You know what I'm saying? I love it. I love it. And I think it's really cool and cute too, because like obviously Boyle Heights, if some of you recognize that name, it's a really famous neighborhood that, you know, it's very, it's been a stronghold of Mexican middle class culture. It's just a very awesome neighborhood that's really, the gentrifiers have been coming in and not welcome, to be honest, especially if they just want to only jam white culture that's not inclusive and doesn't want to get to know the neighbors. A lot of gentrifiers have been successfully scared out. But I love that Julian is like a neighborhood guy, and he recognizes like, all right, like a lot of the people coming and stopping by out of curiosity, he's like, they're señoras who are like my mother's friends that I grew up with in the neighborhood. And he's like, these are instant coffee drinking, you know, Cafe Bustelo. He's like, how do I get them into a $4 coffee range? But he's the perfect bridge, because I'll tell you what, horchata coffee shaken with sin served over ice. I'll pay $3 for that shit.
Oh, yeah. Not to mention, like, if you go for that, go get tacos there, too, if you haven't. There's a vast array of super famous taco trucks that, oh, my God. Now I want a deep fried shrimp taco for lunch so bad.
I'm hungry.
The Marisco Jalisco truck, which was, like, if you ever have seen City of Gold, which, you know, Jonathan Gold, we're getting so L.A., like, chic with our talk. But Jonathan Gold, food critic for the LA Times for years and years and years. If you guys don't know, you should absolutely watch City of Gold if you haven't. But that is where the Marisco Jalisco truck, which is a seafood taco truck, that is the first place he would take people when they came to LA. If they'd never been to LA before, that's the first place he would take everybody to eat, which is beautiful.
And may I just say real quickly too, that at the bottom of this LA Taco article about Julian and his black metal goth coffee pop-up stand called Mist X,
the first response is from his mom. She's like, I'm really proud of my son, Julian. I'm Aww. His mom, Elizabeth.
I'm inspired by all his hard work and making this community feel bright. We are happy for Julian. We wish you the best. Thank you all. Aww. A mom seal of approval. I love it. That's a great, great, happy headline.
All right, Brooke, well, let's get into some server
submitted
stories.
Okay, you guys, thank you. I do want to say just a quick check-in about this. We're getting a lot of them. We see all of them. We're picking and choosing for the main episodes right now, just a few to throw in for our typical Friday episodes, but we are about to put together a handful of special episodes featuring all of your stories, so hang tight. We're not skipping you. You're just going to hear them all coming at you fast and furious all at once soon. Okay. First story, the subject of this one that was submitted is Black Beans Suck. I love the style of writing in this. We begin. I'm not in the service profession. I tried. I could not do it. It is hard. I respect the people who are a part of my restaurant experiences. We always tip at least 20%. Now, once upon a time, we were a party of four and we sat down at a really good franchise Mexican restaurant. We ordered food and drinks and then began enjoying each other's company. Our server arrived with our food in the form of a large serving tray. We were so excited because we love their food. She began to unload the very large serving tray. She went left to right. Enchiladas, a chimichanga, and maybe a chili relleno. God damn it, I can never. Chili relleno. There were monkey dish sides of rice, guacamole, and black beans. You guys are all picturing the monkey dishes. We all Yum. Know what that is. Mm. Now, I hated physics in school, but this was clearly a case study. We were focused on the chimis. And as she unloaded the tray, it was becoming out of balance. When she removed the last entree dish, shit went down. There was a lone monkey dish of black beans on one end and a chimney on the other. The chimney outweighed the black beans and the beans took flight. It was a movie moment where time stopped and there was a large blob of black beans paused in the air. To our amazement, the black blob landed down the back of a man across the restaurant. He happened to be wearing a pink Oxford. Hashtag 90s.
Oh, this is so good.
I love it. I love it. What a Chad. He screamed and went right into a rage about dry cleaning. $2. Really? Okay. Our server was mortified. Todd, the husband, who was a server for a long time, said, "Don't worry. Something will happen tomorrow and you will forget this ever happened." At that moment, another server came out of the kitchen with a large serving tray and proceeded to dump four entrees into the lap of the woman at the booth next to us. Todd said, "See?"
Oh, my
Thank
God.
You. Thank you for that submission, Mr. That Best.
Might, is maybe one of my favorite stories of all time.
You weirdo. I love the style that you wrote this in. Excellent. I love, hey, you don't have to be a server. Send us a great story about a crazy experience that happened to you as a customer.
Okay, next story. Howdy. Love the pod. I'm a former bartender and server who made the jump from service industry to office work at the beginning of COVID, and y'all make it enjoyable to relive the hilarity of restaurant work from the comfort of my desk job. Anyways, this is one of my favorite memories from my last bartending job. I worked at a very popular Vietnamese brew pub in a southern city for a little over 2 years. While the management and majority of customers were absolute terrors, most of my fellow servers were, and still are, amazing. We all had great times. This particular memory is about my coworker. Let's call them Dolly. Dolly's a server who is very blunt and not afraid to tell a guest when they're being out of line. Dolly was the only trans non-binary person at working at this establishment at the time, and of course would sometimes get shitty comments from ignorant people about their haircut, clothes, and so on. They often had to correct people, some people, managers, regulars, whoever, multiple times about their preferred pronouns, them, they. However, there was one incident that stands out. During a fairly busy dinner rush, Dolly was waiting their section, and as they were passing by one of their foretops, a middle-aged woman waved them down. Dolly, like most servers, absolutely loved being flagged down in the middle of a rush.
Love it.
Loving. Although this table had been pretty kind during their visit up to that point. So Dolly asks, "Can I get you something else?" And the woman very casually asked in a heavy, heavy Southern accent, "You got a wiener?" Now, Dolly's heard a lot of ignorant questions, and I'm sure they put up with a lot of bullshit when it comes to their gender, but I think this question threw them unlike anything they had been asked before. It's one thing to ask someone's pronouns, or even if you're a rude piece of shit, what are you? But straight up asking someone if they have a dick without any prelude and completely out of the blue is pretty a next level. Dolly's only response was, "What?" The woman was quick to follow up. She didn't hesitate before asking again, "You got a wiener right there." The woman pointed somewhere below Dolly's belt. Now, I'm not sure what Dolly was feeling at this moment, but I had seen them come close to kicking customers' asses before, and I would not have held it against them if they had, in this moment, punched this woman upside the head. However, before they could respond, the woman continued. "Right there," said the woman, "on your socks." Dolly looked down, and sure enough, they had worn socks with little dachshunds all over them that day. They had a good laugh with the guest, who was an avid wiener dog owner, and then quickly came to tell the rest of the staff what happened. It became a favorite quote for all of us, and my fiance and I still ask each other, "You got a wiener?" to this day.
Oh my God.
You got a wiener?
You got a wiener? Anyway, thanks for the great stories. And Dolly, if you hear this, I miss you much. Godspeed and good tips, Annie. Oh my God. Oh my God. These stories today are blowing my fucking mind. Oh my God.
That's so great.
And this story encapsulates everything we've ever talked about the love and the inside jokes.
It's so great. And honestly, to both of our submissions, like, it's worth it to sit down and take the time and craft, you know, this great story that happened at the restaurant. So well done. So funny. And we're so grateful and delighted every time we get these submissions. They're never the same.
This is the gold standard for stories you guys should be sending us.
That's right.
Oh my God. Oh fuck, that's a good story.
Well, everybody, as if it's not enough to have one person speaking to you with a crazy Dutch last name, Van Poppelen, Andrea and I are so happy to have our guest join us for side work right now. Welcome, Ross Van Dongen.
Hello.
I'm so happy to be here.
Hi, Ross.
How's it going, guys?
We're okay. We're okay.
Good.
We're good.
As good as anyone can be.
It's true.
Yeah.
We need you to say again what you said in the email, the long-time listener.
Of course, yeah. Long-time listener, first-time caller. I have always wanted to say that. So it's such an honor. I've been, you know, listening to this podcast since the beginning. So I'm very happy to finally be in the chair. I know.
Wow. Ross, that's like what we like. 90 episodes deep. That's a lot of listening. Thank you, Ross.
You are so welcome. I mean, any podcast that lets me get a little therapy out for the work that we all have done and do, I'm there. So it's great.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are there. And, you know, the purpose of us wanting to talk to you today is to inspire anyone in general, but also other servers. With your trajectory of going from bartending and waiting tables to deciding you wanted to make a push towards working in politics, you know, mm-hmm. you did a lot of just stomping the pavement for no money, giving a lot of your time and effort. And now look at you taking a lunch break, working on the political team for Mayor Eric Garcetti.
Yeah, it's been quite a little bit of a... I mean, maybe. Yeah, sure. It's been great. It's been quite a change. The last couple years have been wild, as they have been for all of us. But yeah, I'm on career track number three, and it feels good. So it's happy to be here.
Oh yeah, never forget acting, right? That's the one that we all ditch real fast.
Right.
But those are giving you skills to be a server and then also work in politics. So
100%.
Acting, yes. You know, with all our guests, and we bring them all on for like a very specific purpose, like Brooke was talking about with you. But Ross, we want to get into your background as a server and in the restaurant industry. So yes. where did it all start?
Let's see. Okay, so I've been working in the industry. I started when I was 16. I worked at Potbelly Sandwich Works.
Yummy.
Yeah. Oh, God. I drove a couple months ago now. I drove down to Irvine because there's a Potbelly there and spent like round trip, almost 3 hours in the car just to get an Italian sub from a Potbelly. I still love that food. But I worked there off and on through high school and college, and then got out here and started acting. So I started waiting tables. And I worked at terrible but wonderful bar on La Cienega called, I'm in Los Angeles, in Open Air Kitchen and Bar on La Cienega. Mm-hmm. It was a dumpy little dive. It was great. I had a lot of fun. I bartended there, would get low-key very drunk there, you know, that period, that thing that we all do. And then also worked at this ramen place called Tatsu that is...
Ooh, yum!
Yeah, you guys know Tatsu?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do.
Yeah, so I worked at the one on Sawtelle, which I don't know if you've ever been to this. It's in Little Osaka in on the west side of LA, and it's so small. It's so tiny. And I'm a 6'3" Dutch guy, so like, and I have these lava hot bowls of ramen that I'm just like carting around this place that's tinier than my one bedroom apartment, and it was a nightmare, a total nightmare.
And just to give like our listeners like a point of view like on it, like it's so busy that there's computer screens outside that you order and then you wait online, and so it's like this amazing flow, hopefully, right, that is
right
in your favor for the kitchen, for the serving staff. But how long were you there? How long did that last?
I worked at the Sawtelle location for a couple months, and then they opened one on Melrose, which was a bit bigger. But I only lasted a few months there because, like you said, I mean, it is open to close. There is a line out the door, people waiting to get on those iPads to punch in there. You know, I don't care if it's 110 degrees outside. They're waiting to get their 10 bajillion degree bowl of noodles.
Oh, yeah. And they're open till like, don't they stay open till like 3 or 4 in the morning?
4 in the morning. Yeah. I don't know who's going, but people are.
Drunk people are going. That is some privileged drunk food. Yeah. I will say that.
Yeah,
and I've done it. I've actually gotten drunk the chicken ramen there with like, so much fat and schmaltz like hanging out on that ramen. Yeah. It's so good. Anyway, it's all about you, not my ramen love.
After I threw in the towel on Tatsu, I couldn't cut it. I went over to John and Vinny's. And I worked John and Vinny's for several years and have developed a very love to hate, hate to love relationship with that restaurant.
And that's how you met Miss Kyle Williams.
Miss Kyle June Williams. Yes. Love Kyle. She's amazing. So that's how I met her.
She's the glue. The fun fact is she's the reason we know you. And we all had like a very 2+ years ago. All of us just started sniffing around the political sphere a lot more, all kind of like, we feel like we do enough. And then you quickly realize, no, I don't. And I can do a lot more.
Right.
And we all kind of had a political awakening together. And you're much more accelerated than I am, Ross. Full on working for the mayor at this moment. But...
I think we all had some sort of like, oh shit moment about 3.5 years ago, right?
Yes.
Yeah, like something happened and I don't care if you were for the guy or against the guy, like it was rocking. It was world rocking thing that no one saw coming could happen right under our nose. And Brooke, I texted you about this, but I think about it all the time. Like we were at a comedy show, you were hosting a comedy show, and you made a point to say, like, my guy was in charge, and it was Jesus take the wheel, and like whatever he said did. And from as soon as Trump got into office, it was a light switch for me. It just was like, I need to know every single person. Yeah. Right. I need to know every single person that this guy appoints. I need to know who goes in and out of that building every single day. I need to, because I didn't know what a midterm election was until I worked on one in 2018. Like, I had no idea about anything.
But yeah, so Ross, that's, and it was hard to admit because I do think, you know, at a certain age, me personally, I want to be seen as smart and politically engaged, but then realized I'm like, I don't think I voted in a midterm election before. Like, let's be honest. And quickly realized that, yeah, 8 years of feeling represented with an Obama era administration that I, or it's not even Jesus take the wheel. I fell asleep at the wheel. I was like, we're good. And then we were not good.
We were not good.
So that was a big moment for everybody, I think, kind of waking up and smelling the coffee of what the proud and few who actually do vote in this country. That's what's frightening, is not that many people at the end of the day in America show up to vote, and it's a travesty. Right.
Yeah.
And it is interesting when we talk about midterm elections. You know, Brian and I have always been like really savvy about voting in all elections, like here, but even back in Chicago, I just feel like, and even like me going all the way back to Omaha, like the excitement of being able to vote. You know what I mean? Like, my dad would like work like poll, he would work election days for years and years. He loved doing it, you know, and go work our local polls. But like, it is, but I will admit that it was like a thing where even with midterms, even getting in, you know, in Chicago, like voting for our alderman, things like that happening, sure, where it was like you heard about it, but for me, it was like almost like the week of that I did all my research. It wasn't me actively doing the work and pushing toward candidates that I think are the right people. It was just kind of like, okay, here's what I have to do because I have to vote. And then I look and I'm like, I think that's right. And then, you know, so that's a different form of me being woken up, I think, too, because now I'm really doing my research a lot deeper than I ever have.
Right.
Like, who's, and I still am a little bit like, what the fuck is a comptroller? You know?
Absolutely. I mean, there's so many people that I'm on calls with when I'm with, you know, the mayor, with my boss, and I'm just like, this person does what for who and how, and bureaucracy is in charge. Some, like, I have no idea. So we're still all learning.
We are still all learning, and I think the point of today's episode is that that's how the current powers that be want it to be. They want us young, you know, non-1% part of the population to stay intimidated, to stay confused, to believe that we're not allowed in this arena. And we are here to tell you it's okay to start with a first baby step, which everybody right now, who's listening, we love you. Are you registered to vote? I'm going to pause real quick. Everyone listening, go to votesaveamerica.com. I'm going to hold and wait for you to pick up your phone and go to votesaveamerica.com. In exactly 1 minute, you can verify that you're registered. Okay? Because if you moved, or even if you haven't voted in a bit, you can get kicked off the voter registration index. And it's a sneaky thing that some powers that be do. Okay, fine. Double check. You're verified. You're good to go. If you're not, hit the register button. It takes 2 minutes. Register to vote. Okay, moving on to some serving things. I'm going to be checking back with you all to see if you did it. The point is, if you're not registered, you can't even take these first baby steps of being a dum-dum who, you know, you gotta crawl before you run, people. I was so embarrassed with how little I actually knew about politics.
And it's ridiculous because we servers and hourly wage workers are the people that every single politician claims that they're working for.
Yes.
And they tell us that we are the ones that matter, that the middle class is what drives our country and builds our country. And yet, like you said, we are purposely left out of the conversation, especially if you are Black and brown and below the poverty line. They want to make sure that you don't know what's going on so that they can maintain the status quo, and then they can continue representing districts that a lot of these folks have no business representing. So it's time that we all wake up. We've seen how messed up this country can get. We've seen how the system is completely rigged against us. So we need to, from your city council member and your school board on up to president, check every single box.
Yes,
absolutely.
And we're not we're not here to tell you to be Democrats. You know, we practice autonomy. You know, use your own best discretion. We're not gonna, you know, we are a liberal and progressive minded group of people ourselves. But you know what? When you're progressive minded, make your own decisions, folks. But I think especially in the service industry, and this is just my opinion, you are voting against your own self-interest, your best self-interest, if you do not vote Democrat.
You know, and even talking about who's not being like basically targeted to vote in the election, whether you're black or you're brown, even if you're not, what neighborhood do you live in? Like are voting lines, is redlining happening in your district? Are sneaky things happening right under your nose that you don't even know about in your state for voter suppression to be completely what's happening in big elections? The answer is like, yeah. I mean, even talking about Florida, for example, you know, like you can't vote if you're a felon, right? A new law came about that said, no, you can actually vote. But then a sneaky new vote comes and says, if you haven't paid your debt, sorry, you can't vote. I mean, it's just, there's stuff like this happening all the time to make it so your voice is not heard.
And it shouldn't be up to people like Michael Bloomberg donating $16 million to Florida felons to pay off their fines. Like, right. That's not how our system should be built. But right now, that's exactly what has to happen to ensure that these people are represented.
Right. And, you know, and here's why, like, as I'm trying to, like, meld this together with you all, because I feel the energy of us, like, loving the fact that we've got this service background and we're now waking up to the power of being involved in politics is, like, if you're a server and a bartender, I'm pretty sure you don't stand for bullshit in your restaurant. You don't put up with sneaky stuff. You are a professional, you know, shit caller, you know, shot caller, baller, that whole thing. And it is rock and roll.
Yeah.
Punk as fuck to get out and vote and to fucking, it really is stick it to the man. I'm swear
and
to God.
I absolutely guarantee you're working in a restaurant in the service industry where it's a diverse group of people that come together to get a job done. This is what happens in the restaurant industry. We talk about it time and time again. You have their fucking backs. Make sure they have your backs. It's the beauty of it all. I'm super interested, like being in the restaurant industry for so long, like how is that? Now that you've moved on to politics, like what parallels are you seeing?
I was literally just about to jump in because like this is my thing. Like we as servers, as bartenders, as people who work in restaurants generally, we are better at our jobs if we can bullshit and small talk with as many people as we can. Get those tips, you know, make them feel like they love you and you love them and this is a happy little environment that we've created, right? That is exactly what you need to do when you're on the phone with voters, when you're at the doors with voters, when you're in the field talking to potential voters. Persuasion, baby. It's all about like making your story resonate with these people that are on the phones to convince them to vote for the candidate that you are supporting. When I was an organizer on Beto O'Rourke's Senate campaign in Texas in 2018, I just was amazed at how every skill that I picked up with people in restaurants was applicable to every single aspect of my job.
Yes!
Because the more that I was able to get these volunteers and these voters on my side, the better we all were at our jobs. So restaurant people, vital. If you have the time, because I think a lot of us in the industry do right now, sign up for some volunteer shifts, whether it be for a Senate candidate, whether it be for a presidential candidate, a city council member, whatever, because you're the best at it. And I guarantee it.
Yeah. And I think it's just like anything else. You know, we talk, you have like the first day jitters. And once you get into the groove, it's like, you've been doing this job for years. You know what you're doing. You know,
and
you're just,
and it's like an expert at getting yelled at.
Absolutely. And think of it this way. If you can memorize a bunch of information about food that you don't give a shit about or the daily specials, just swap that out with some really cool facts about, you know, the congressional candidate that you're canvassing for and latch on to, you know, the way you say, well, my favorite on the menu is this appetizer, that appetizer. You truly say like, well, the reason I'm supporting so-and-so today is because I really agree with these two points. And then you just, I'm telling you, you will be so amazed at how good you will be in politics, because you are of the people when you are a server and a bartender. And that's absolutely what politics are supposed to be, for the people, you know, and it's been completely hijacked.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm just going to say right now, Trump is the day old fish. You know, you can order if you want, but I would not recommend it.
Guys, like I said, it's a free country. Get that day old fish. But I'm saying we want the artisanal farm to table new version of America. Please.
Please.
Watch out, Brooke. You're getting pretty coastal elite right now.
I know. I know. When
that's my favorite restaurant to eat at in LA, Coastal Elite.
Oh my God, can we open that? I am
Pelosi's place.
Pelosi's place. Oh, it's so great. But right, it excites me when I realize that we are talking to so many of you who are potentially, let's see, some of you are like 21, 22, maybe didn't vote in the last election because you were like, what the fuck, you know, and now you're kind of like, I want to do this, let's get out there. And I think a lot of you also describe yourself, because a lot of you live all over the country, which is just one of the best things about hosting this podcast, is talking to such varied listeners and people in the places you work at, the kind of customers you have. But I feel like a lot of you are the self-described, we're the blueberry in the tomato soup, meaning you're in a blue city in a big red state. You can change that. Your vote is not ineffective, because I think sometimes you can be very like, fuck, I live in a really red state. It doesn't matter if I vote or who I vote for. And that's really dangerous thinking.
Yeah. I mean, I take it from me. The first time I voted was in 2008 for President Obama. I was in college in Indiana at the time, and that night we saw Indiana go blue for Barack Obama. So, I mean, yeah. Like, crazier things have happened. And for Vote Save America, Brooke, you can also there go to adoptastate.com by those same guys. And if you yes. are convinced that, like, hey, I live in the reddest of red states or the bluest of blue states, and you want to maybe make your vote a little, spread your wings a little bit more and really get out there, you mm-hmm. can adopt a swing state like Pennsylvania, Michigan, Florida, and call voters down there to engage and make sure that, hey, if you think that your vote's going to be suppressed where you are, put that energy into somewhere else where it's going to matter a little bit more. That's not to say, I mean, I would recommend that if you are in a very, 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 very blue state, if you're going to support Democrats. If you're in red state, like, do what you can to at least turn your city a little bit bluer, but, and then get out there. But we need all help and get from there.
I mean, going back to 2008, talking about Indiana turning blue, you know, me being from Omaha, like in Nebraska, electoral votes are separated by district. And right. So Omaha went blue for the first time in forever, which was incredible. So just know that if you're in Omaha, that is very possible. It's not the whole state together. It's just your district that needs to be worked on. And I mean, also the state, but
yeah. Nebraska is crazy. Maine does it very similarly too. Like the way that our states just decide what they're going to do is wild. Like, I'm all for states' rights, but like, whoo, it's confusing.
I agree.
And I think, you know, because this matters and we feel like we've got such a great audience in terms of you guys, our listeners, and just the power you possess when you really come together for a good cause. Like, you know, I do think when you look at the statistics that 12 million people in America work in restaurants, you guys can fucking put a dent in a motherfucker's attempt at taking back the office. You know what I'm saying? Like, you guys show up and you can make a huge difference in this election. Which Absolutely. Is so very exciting. And we want to be a resource where if you're like, fuck, I don't even know where to begin, I promise that Andrew and I will put some info on Instagram and keep talking to you, not all over the head politics between now and November, but we want to find out, where do you live? We'll help you do the research about the district. And if it's an important district, to try and get the word out to get people to vote. But, you know, because I fought in a very specific district, Michigan 8, 2 years ago. And even though I couldn't vote in Michigan's 8th district, I knocked doors on behalf of the congressional candidate. And she's one of the many women we sent to, you know, D.C. And we took back the House.
Alyssa.
Alyssa Slotkin. And she still needs your votes. We think she's going to get it again. But she needs help this year. So if you're in Michigan listening and want to chit chat about this really important race, I think the other point too, and I know I'm coming at y'all with a lot of points, is I used to also have the I only get to vote once every 4 years. It's just not true. And the over attachment to the, like, being bitter about not being able to vote for the presidential candidate you wanted, I get it. It's sad. I understand why people love Bernie. But the point is, don't be totally blindsided by that. There are so many rad young women that you can push into positions of power who then can become a candidate for president in another 10 or 15 years.
There you go.
Absolutely. And if I could just speak on one specific area of the country where waiters and servers have a real voice, it's in Nevada. The Culinary Union in Nevada is hugely influential. Yep. I think it represents 15% of Nevada's entire workforce. And they are obviously really hurting right now. A lot of their members, as with many of us listening to this podcast, have had their work completely taken away from them. So a massively powerful union in a state that is trending bluer and bluer all the time has now had its feet taken out from under them. And Trump is really on top of that right now, trying to get some ground back. So if you are trying to figure out, like, what can you do, what can you do, call some voters in Nevada, because the Culinary Union, those people that would normally be giving a ton of money to the campaign in Nevada specifically are not able to do that right now. So we need all the help we can get in Nevada.
Yeah, and we've covered, you know, if you guys go back, when we're talking about one fair wage specifically, we talked in depth about the Nevada Union and how they're basically the gold standard for what the restaurant industry should be doing in all states right now to get unions right, to get fair wages. So this is a very important union, like Ross said. So everybody, please check that out.
So Ross, just to speak to that point too, that a powerful, amazing union that was very hard earned and won for restaurant and hospitality workers in Nevada. The fact that that's on shaky ground, the fact that so many of us are affected by a pandemic and can't do the jobs we love, like servers, bartenders, you need to get out and vote. We need to vote for people who are going to make sure we have some sort of livelihood and payment continuing to come to us until we can safely open restaurants. But like, you got to get out there. This is beyond like the pale what's happening. You know, it's inexcusable to not have any sort of support from the government at the moment when we cannot go do jobs, or that we are forced to do jobs that endanger our health and have no benefits. So
absolutely.
I am preaching, but I think we are preaching to a fantastic group of people who I want you to feel inspired. I want you to believe that you can make a difference, because you can.
1,000%. I mean, like, we are the majority of this country, and if we show up in force, like, we affect the change. We've seen that over the last 3.5 years, that we have the power and capability to really shake things up when we want to, whether it was the healthcare vote that we narrowly kept the Obamacare going, whether it be the upcoming fight we have for the Supreme Court suit, whatever is going on, we need to show up in force and call your senators and call your representatives all the time. 202-224-3121. It's the congressional switchboard. Just give a little bit of information to the operator and they will link you right up with your representative.
Yeah, and if you guys get that voicemail or a voice box is full, don't be discouraged. You can tweet at these people. You can send them emails. You can snail mail them. There's all sorts of ways to get your point of view, like, out there and known to these representatives of yours that you pay for. You pay their wages.
And let me tell you also from experience, like, also tweet at your local officials, your city council members, your school board people, your mayor. I can tell you from experience that they see it and they listen to it and they take it in. So do not hesitate to tweet at them, email them, write them. They see it all and it affects the decisions they make 100%.
What if we, like, everybody should just get, like, guest checks, and we'll just start mailing guest checks with our opinions to all of our representatives from the service industry. And that should be like, that'd we be so order cool. this, your total is change. Like, serve them up.
That would be so amazing if there just was restaurant people all over the world just mailing checks to representatives. That'd be incredible.
I love that.
I think it'd be really fun to check in with you again before November also, Ross. So okay. You're a really incredible resource. And
oh, thank you.
Yeah, it's just really exciting. And you are living proof that we as servers and people who are tip-based workers, we can do anything. We can really, you know, we're really, really good at multitasking. We're really great with people. And I was like, therefore, we make natural politicians because working in a restaurant is just one big game of politics. It is.
Absolutely.
It's
just
it's a schmooze with a heart. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's what I'll say.
Yeah. So, I mean, be the next AOC out there, guys. Bartender exactly. straight up to most powerful congresswoman in that house.
Boom. Dream guest. Goddess of the podcast. Ross, any other advice or parting words or a hilarious quip? Anything you want to leave us with today?
Oh, geez. I mean, I served Beyonce once. I served Beyonce once. So.
Boom!
Boom. See, we do have the best lives. We have the best lives.
That's
powerful. Oh, she was like, here's some of my power. Take it, because I'm Beyonce and I'm in front of you. So I think that she charged you up fully, right?
Right. And then, like, I'm talking about politics and restaurants. I served Michelle Obama once, too. John Boom. And Vinny's. Like, what Boom. On earth, you know? Go to John and Vinny's, or don't. I don't know.
The food's very delicious. So I say, go to John and Vinny's.
Or don't.
Or don't.
No, it's great. And the people are wonderful. And buy some wine, too. They're all fantastic. I love it.
Yeah, I'm sure they're doing a great job keeping everybody fed and safe and bringing staff back on. I know it's been a really big thing for them. So props to that entire company.
Yes, absolutely.
Right on. Well, okay. I think just parting, you know, we're going to continue to provide you information between now and November 3rd while we're bringing you all sorts of good side work restaurant related.
Get used to it.
Goodness.
Here we go.
Get used to it. Sorry, we're going to be mean older sistering you to make sure you are registered to vote and that you have a plan to vote. And we're going to be here to help. Feel free to DM me, Andrea, anywhere that, like, questions. Nothing's a dumb question. I will gladly try my best to help answer it because I had to start somewhere. Don't be embarrassed or ashamed. Just get in the fight, babies.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. This has
Ross,
been so much
awesome.
Fun.
Well, you guys, thank you so much for listening. Ross, thanks for being here. Like Brooke said, like we're saying to you, get out there, get registered to vote if you don't. Send us your server submitted stories. We would love to hear from you guys. You can please send them into our DMs. You can email us at sideworkpod@gmail.com. Brooke, what am I missing?
No, you got it all. You nailed it. And follow everything on Last Podcast Network, y'all.
Yeah, and you know what we say at the end of every episode?
Vote! Oh, sorry. Also, Godspeed.
Good tips.
Good fight.
And good fight, good you guys.
Happy voting.